Today, we are going to invite Lydia to come and tell her story. And Lydia is a Taunton girl, really. Probably the first person we've had interviewed who was born, were you born?
Yeah.
Actually, in Musgrove?
I believe so. Yeah, I think so.
You don't remember. You don't quite
remember.
And you will notice as she begins to speak that sadly, she's not very West Country.
I can put one on for you. But I won't.
Actually, Lydia, you do better than me at that. Now, tell us a little bit about your family.
So, on my mum's side, she's married to my stepdad, Cliff. I've got stepbrother and sister. My stepsister's my age, pretty much a month off, and my stepbrother's 2 years below. He lives in London, so I barely see him. I've got my sister, who's over in Australia at the moment, travelling. Miss her dearly, but you may know her. She's called Ellie. You might have heard before. And I've got my little brother, Jack, who, again, you may know.
And who are Jack's parents?
They are Mark and Claire, and they're sat... Dad's sat over there.
Dad's over there. And I'm assuming Claire's listening in somewhere in the building.
Maybe. Or she may be running after Jack.
Or running after Jack. I hear you thoroughly enjoy Jack.
Absolutely. I mean, who doesn't?
He's one. Is he? No, he's not.
He's one. Yeah,
he's one year old.
1 and a few months.
And it must be quite a different thing to have a one-year-old brother at 29.
Yeah.
But I think it would be a lot more fun.
It's so much fun. It's so much fun. He's just so lovely.
That's great. Now, Lydia, you actually grew up in a Christian home, mm-hmm. and you told me of an early memory when you were about 6 years old. You asked your dad at six, blonde, blue eyes, classic. I can imagine you looking at Mark, saying, "Dad, am I a Christian?" What did he say?
He said, I don't know, you need to, have you prayed and asked Jesus into your life?" And I said, I don't know, but I'll go do it now. And I went into my bedroom, and I don't remember the exact words, but I think I said, "Jesus, come into my heart, and I want to follow you." I think it was really simple. And I went out and told Dad and said, "I've just done it."
And what did Dad do?
I don't remember. I'm sure he's very happy, though.
I'm sure.
Probably like, "Well done."
I'm sure he was.
Yeah.
And then coming into, I'm going to skip a few years to your early teens.
Yeah.
Because actually when I have a pre-interview before I do an interview, and there were loads of details, which we can't go into all of them today. But in your early teens, you told me you were very popular at school.
Yeah, certainly. At the age of 13, I had some friends at school who were the popular kids, and I was really pleased. I was really, really pleased to that.
In with the in crowd.
Yeah, basically. Uh-huh. That sort of changed things for me. Yeah.
What changed?
It wasn't cool to be a Christian, and
because your friends didn't think it was cool,
exactly, and to read the Bible. Should I tell the story about Ellie? So at homework club, which is just after school, me and my sister were sitting at a table together, and my friend Megan was on the same table, and she was one of my best friends, and she was really popular, and Ellie was reading the Bible. And I was nudged Ellie. I was "Don't do that." And I was and it was heartbreaking, actually, from the age of six, where I was gave my heart to Jesus, to the age of 13, where I was "No, that's not cool." And then, really sad. Yeah. Mm.
It's interesting, isn't it? It's your how you can, at that age, teenagers particularly, want to be in with the in crowd. Mm. And so you kind of think, well, I'll shelf the things of faith just to be in.
And you do what they do as well. You start copying because you want to be, you don't want to be different.
Yeah, and you want people to think, you're cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand that. Well, when you were 14, I think your dad was persevering in bringing you along to church. And he joined us, Kingdom Faith Church here. And you came every other week and joined the youth group. What was that like? What were some of your early memories of the youth?
So I remember like the first person I met who was my sort of age was Mandy. And she was really, really lovely. But her first question was like sort of threw me off a little bit because I'd never heard it before. And it was, "Are you saved?" And I was like, "Ooh, what does that mean?" Because I didn't know what it meant. And I went home and asked Dad, and he told me a bit more about it and things. But so young Christians had like real faith at that, you know, at the time. And then I met a few more people, and then I started going to the youth club with Pastor Andrea. And I remember Kaz used to drive me in the car and we used to have like lots of nice conversations. She'd ask me about school and about my friends, and it was really nice. It was really nice to get to know them, and we just talked about different things each week at the youth. And I remember watching the video of what you reminded me was the jellyfish man, Ian McCormack.
That's right, yeah.
And I remember asking Kaz about it on the way home, and I was saying, like, I was like, "Oh, I want to watch that video with a friend." And she was like, "Oh, do you want her to invite her round? And we'll all watch it together and see if she's got any questions." And I was like, "Yeah." And it's that, and it was like I really wanted to do it, but I wasn't brave enough. I never did get like sort of get to ask her. And then after that, I don't really remember much else, because I got a job at Morrison's when I was 16, and that was on a Wednesday night, and I stopped going. So yeah, it was like I had these few memories, and I remember like really enjoying it, but as I started working at Morrison's, so I didn't go anymore. But I do remember like my first couple of shifts, I think it might have been a few shifts in, I remember you guys all came in, and I remember seeing Dan, and he started saying, I don't know why, but he started saying, "Be bold." He's bold. I don't know why. But I was like, just laughing. I don't know why. I can't remember. But so I just have these fleeting memories, and everyone was really, really nice and really friendly, but it was just a shame that I didn't carry on, and I ended up giving up those Wednesdays to go to work. Yeah.
So did you working when you could have been at the youth group, did it actually cause you to distance yourself from your relationship with God?
Yeah, because I wasn't getting that encouragement in the week, and because I was going to church every other Sunday, sometimes I wouldn't, you know, sort of think about God for, I don't know, 13 days, I suppose. I believe that because you're not getting that encouragement, you think you'll be okay. Mm-hmm. I think, I'll just read the Bible, or mm-hmm. I'll just try and do something. But you life.
Drift.
Yeah.
And you drift into what everybody else does rather than what it means to follow Jesus.
Absolutely.
Really.
And that was actually a real crucial time. So at the age of 16, you're turning into your late teens. And
getting interested in boys, probably.
Yeah.
Or boys getting interested in you, I can be sure. and really just not living Christian life. But you've been gifted with a brain. We all have, but mine doesn't work as well as hers. But you went on to Exeter Uni to study maths, which is also for me a mystery. I don't know if there's any in this room who thinks maths is a mystery, but there are some who think it's amazing. And so you went on to study at Exeter Uni. What was that like?
So it's the first time I've been away from home, living away from home, to sort of learn how to cook. So I enjoyed my course, and in my first term, I was like, right, this is a real opportunity to start fresh and to go to the Christian Union and try, get back on track with God. And I met some friends who are still my friends now. No matter what's happened in my life, one of them in particular has just been constant. And no matter what I've done, she's just been there constant. So really important time going to the Christian Union. But I didn't stay at the Christian Union because I just got distracted by uni life again. But I still think that God was still for me. Well, he was still for me because he kept those people in my life, and they didn't wander off and think, oh, well, she's not living the Christian life, so we won't bother with her. One of them just stayed with me for now, and she was a bridesmaid at my wedding. So she's just... And now she's praying for me today. I'm so pleased for you. So, yeah.
So you can see how amazing God has been to bring Christians into your life, probably through the prayers of people like your dad, that actually meant you could never get away. not that you didn't like Christians, you just... You know, it's just almost like God was saying, I'm here, turn to me, I'm here. And what I love about what you say about one particular friend, Naomi, is that she never judged you. She kept following her faith and not doing what you were into.
No.
But she was always there, and you shared a house with her, didn't you?
Yeah, we lived together in my second and third year, and she's such a good example because... She would talk to me about God when I asked her questions and things like that, but she never ever preached at me and made me feel. Do you know what I mean?
Did anybody know what she means?
but she was a witness in her life, so. She went to church every Sunday. She had quiet time in the morning. She would come out with us, but she wouldn't drink that much. She never got drunk, but she was still with us, having a good time. She showed that she was willing to be our friend, but she wasn't willing to conform.
Do you know, I love that because Jesus actually was known as the friend of sinners. And he used to go and go to parties and go to meals with people who weren't followers at that point. But he was happy to be there, but he obviously never compromised his relationship and his faith. And to have Christians like that isn't always the case, is it? It isn't always the case that, sadly... Lots of people can let us down in their witness, but thank God for those who are the genuine and can stick and show us who Jesus is. He really is. So you qualified.
Yes, I got my maths degree, and then I came home and I worked at. I didn't know what I wanted to do, so I worked at. Debenham's Cafe, because I did that part-time in Exeter, so I just transferred to the Taunton one. And, so I was there for about a year, sort of making up my mind what I wanted to do, and decided to become a teacher.
Ooh.
So, yeah.
So you did teacher's training?
Yes, that was down in Cornwall.
In Cornwall. So did you move again?
I moved again. Yeah.
Okay.
Did
you go surfing?
No.
What a disappointment.
I have done once since, and it's not for me.
Some in this room wouldn't agree. I know that. So you did teacher's training, and then where did you get your first job as a teacher?
In Bridgewater, it's called Robert Blake Science College, and that's a secondary maths teacher.
That was West Country. I heard, in Bridgewater? It went, yes.
Yeah, so I started there. That was my first year particularly was very challenging because I sort of walked in and I was a bit too nice, and they then went for me. But no. So I found my feet, and then I did that for two more years. In my final year, I was really trying to be the best teacher I could be because I wanted to do the best that I could for the kids. But that really meant I was giving up all my time whilst I was at school, so lunchtime and after school clubs, the kids would just come in doing their revision, blah, blah, blah. And then at home I was doing my marking till goodness knows when in the evening, and then I'd get up at sort of 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning to do my lesson planning for that day. So it was really, really, really hard. And I was doing really well as a teacher, actually. My head of department said, "Wow, you've really changed this year." And I was like, "But I have no time." So at the end of the year, I thought, "I don't want to do this anymore because I haven't got any time and I'm exhausted." Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of teachers would say that's something that they fight hard to be able to juggle life as well as teaching, particularly in today's teaching world. Now comes the nitty-gritty, really, of some very painful things that happened in your life. Mm-hmm. Because at this point, I think you got married around this time?
I got married at the end of my second year of teaching. And so I was planning the wedding sort of towards the end. So that was why I wasn't marking and lesson planning loads, because I was planning my wedding. And then I got married that summer, and then the year after, that was when I threw myself into teaching. And then at the end of that year, I was like, I've had no time for my husband this year, and it was a really, really rocky year, and we weren't getting along because we had no time together.
So. And was he a Christian?
No, he's not Christian.
And you weren't going anywhere to get any kind of encouragement of faith?
No.
And so during this difficult time, it's kind of you decided to give up teaching so that partly you could spend more time
together,
with him.
Yeah, which was, it was, I think that helped, definitely.
Mm. I know things have got worse in many ways and haven't been at all easy in the relationship, particularly the last 6 months.
Yeah.
What effect has it had on you, Lydia? Do you mind sharing a little bit? Because it makes your story real to know that one of the hardest things to go through is relationship breakdown. And the stories are so relevant to many of us in this room who've been through difficult times, but I think yours is really, really new and special.
Mm. So in March, the relationship broke down, and it didn't look like it was going to recover. And I wanted to move out to get out of the situation. And I sort of went online, found a house share, and moved in within about a week. So that's where I'm living at the moment. And I just remember getting there and just thinking, 29, marriage, probably going to get divorced. I'm on my own. And it was such, I'm going to be 30 next year. And I just thought, what's my life come to, really? It just felt, it was really, really, oh, it's really, really, it was real. It was a real, it was really hard.
Because yeah. You did everything you could to, yeah. to make it to work. Yeah. You wanted it to work.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
But I did hear at this point, probably one of your lowest points, you phoned somebody.
Yeah.
Who I must say is one of the heroes of your story.
Yeah. So it happened like a couple of days before, and I was finding the house share. And I was a bit scared to phone my dad because I was like, I don't know what he's going to say. Anyway, so I rang dad and I said, look, I've got something to tell you. We've decided that it's not working and we're not happy in the relationship. And unfortunately, we're going to separate. And I was really worried what dad was going to say. And he... it was amazing. He said, oh, Lydia, I'm so sorry to hear that. I'm so sorry for you and what you're going through. And he said, just come round. Just don't be on your own. Just come round. And then he said, do you want to come to church? And I was like, yeah, I do. Yeah, so he was fantastic. So I said, yeah, I do want to come to church. And then as I was packing up my stuff, so after I got the phone and I was packing over the next few days and that, I took a picture off the wall and ripped the paint off. And I was like, oh. And
You phoned dad.
Phoned dad. I was like, I'm going to lose my deposit. Please, could you come and paint the wall? And I came around, and again, it was amazing, we were chatting about it a bit more. And I said, I do want to come to church, but I can't come this Sunday because I've got some studies to do. And then afterwards, that's my birthday, so I can't come then either. And he said, that's fine, but just to let you know, things are going to come up because you want to go back. Things just keep coming up, and that just happens to people. Whenever you sort of ask someone, it just seems to happen that something comes up.
To stop you coming
to
back
stop you
to,
coming
church.
To church. Yeah.
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 I think, you know, being a pastor, I've seen it over the years, how work, like Morrison's, you got a job. All kinds of relationships can come in to stop you, to look more attractive or... all kinds of things, and just simply the busyness of life and plans can stop you being in a place where really you can find healing and yeah. help and yeah. purpose, which is lost in every other way, actually. Yeah. Life doesn't work without Jesus, no. which is what you're going to tell us about in a minute. But I also know for people who... probably feel that they failed. Know that God wants Christian marriages, well, marriage to work. It wasn't totally a Christian marriage, but God wants it to
God
work.
God wants marriages to work.
But the awfulness of being in that situation has left you where you are now.
Yeah.
And coming back, it's really hard. Especially when you come back to some people who've been following Jesus all these years, because we have from that youth group that you were part of, they're still here.
Yeah.
Many of them are still not perfect, I'm sure, because none of us are. They're not perfect, but it must have been quite difficult. So what did Mark and Claire do to make it easier for you?
So on the first Sunday when I came back to church, Dad said, right, well, we'll meet you outside. I got here about 10:15, and they were there waiting for me. And I came in, and they were just, so I sat with them, they just looked after me the whole time. And they made me feel, they made me sure, that I was fine. Like, I was fine. And I didn't.
And you needed that just to get across the door.
It is. You know, walking into. I mean, any church on your, like, when you're on your own and you're walking in, and you don't know who's going to be there. It is scary. It is scary. I found that before.
Especially if you think, they're going to be cold with you, and judge you. But I know you mentioned something about the welcome team at the door. If they're listening downstairs and upstairs, listen to this.
As you sort of walk in, you just feel this warmth, and they just want to talk to you, they want to make you feel welcome, you get a hug, and that just makes you think anyone walking into this building would not be able to go away without having spoken to someone and felt that you matter. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a wonderful thing to say.
Don't, because I'll go as well.
The next question is, I know that the Connect team, I think Ailey pounced on you downstairs, and nicely so.
Yeah.
But we have our whole Connect team that come and talk to you afterwards and see if they can help you, pray with you. So what happened?
So after my first week of church, I thought, this is for me, this is what I want, it feels right. And I prayed to God and I said, I'm sorry for walking away from you, and I'm sorry for everything I've done wrong. And please, can you come into my life and be my saviour and let me follow you? And I just spent about, I don't know, an hour weeping and praising. And afterwards I just felt such peace. And I thought, right, this is brilliant, this is great. I'm right with God, and that's all it took, just that one prayer, and that's it, that's everything gone, that's everything I've done, every time I've walked away, that's it, and
both pastors are undone,
that was it, and then that's it. So the way forward was clear, and so then that week I was like, right, I just want my whole life to, you know, be about Jesus. What can I do? And I went on the website, and I was looking, and I think it said that there was some faith groups, or
Connect groups.
Now it's a connect group, but at the time. At the time, it's allowed because it was the week before your service, so it was fine.
Thank you, Lydia. I feel justified.
So, so I was looking, I said, right, I want to get involved with that. So when I get to church, I'll ask someone about that. And then that was the service, which was about connect groups and what they mean and the new why it was going from faith group to connect group. And there was little cards on the seats to help you join a connect group. And I just went to Dad, like, elbowed him, answered prayer. And I said, I've been praying because I want to join a group. And anyway, didn't need those cards because I went downstairs. Like, so Dad had gone to do some counting or something. So I went downstairs on my own and was a bit scared. I thought, I'll just go get a cup of tea. And one of the Connect team, Ailey, just walked straight over to me and started talking, and I made a friend straight away. And I was like, right, yeah, this service was brilliant because I want to join a Connect group. And she's like, oh, it's fine, you're coming to ours. And then I met San.
You went to the group, and I think you shared a little bit of your story, which must have also been, because it's a smaller group, and you feel quite vulnerable, not quite as vulnerable as now, but you'd feel quite vulnerable in a small group. But I just think everybody was just all for you, weren't they?
Yeah. So I turned up early. I was like, oh, I've got the right time. And San and Tommy and Becky was there. Just chatting to me straight away. I came back to Jesus. I had that, met loads of people on Sunday, but still on Wednesday, still again, I was really nervous because, I didn't know what to expect or anything like that. But as I was walking along, I was getting a bit nervous, but when I got there, it was fine. And yeah, and then I spoke to San. She was really pleased to see me. And and then as the Connect group, as we sat down and we looked at a verse, we all had to go around and share something. And I shared what I got from the verse. But also I told a bit of my story, and I just said, I've got a non-Christian husband, and I was just saying, and I'm desperate for him to be saved and whatever. And I just felt the compassion of that group. They were just all looking at me just like, in a couple of weeks later, I met San for lunch, and she said, do you know, you just fit like a glove. And I was just like, and I don't know whether she knows what that meant to me, but it meant a lot to me.
Yeah, you do fit. You fit with us.
It's great.
She fits, doesn't she? But then there's a whole fitting going on in this room because everybody can fit. Because that's how Jesus planned it. There's a place for everyone.
Absolutely.
Here. I'd like to just kind of come towards an end with saying, emotionally, one of the words you used, you were numb.
Yeah.
You felt your heart so heartbroken, you were numb.
Mm-hmm.
But after you kind of prayed and said sorry and asked Jesus to be back where he should be, really, as mm-hmm. Lord of your life.
Yeah.
What was the change emotionally? What's happened?
I feel a fullness now, like... So I feel complete. There's a warmth in my heart that I feel pretty much all the time, which I didn't feel before, and not just because I was heartbroken. I didn't feel that whilst I was away from God, because, you have love for people. You have love for your husband, your family, your friends, but not in the same way. I didn't have... I don't know, I was numb, numb is the word. And then now I just have this feeling in my heart of, full completeness, actually. That before wasn't, there was a hole, must have been a hole, and I feel full, complete.
That's wonderful. Only Jesus can do that.
Yeah.
Only Jesus can do it, because there's no way our hearts can be healed and whole and feel... Because we can go into retreat and iceberg moments where we're like that massive Antarctic mass of ice because of what happens to us.
Mm.
We get so hurt. Mm. But what can happen is, Jesus, if you do what you did and invite him, coming to church is the first step, but it doesn't change your heart.
No.
It enables you to find out and be in an environment which is important, which you've already pointed out. But Jesus actually can melt the Antarctic.
And you can see how happy people are as well in church. You can see how happy.
I think that's Jesus' plan. Mm. To heal brokenhearted people and to make us happy again. Because Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life in all its fullness. And that's what you have actually experienced since coming back to Jesus. It doesn't mean to say there aren't moments where you feel sad, if we could be real about the journey you're on.
Mm.
What do you do when you feel sad?
You don't always notice that you're feeling sad straight away, or you're just worrying, or you just quietly sort of sat there and your mind sort of starts worrying and you start feeling a bit sad. And then I've after about 10 minutes, I'm like, oh. And I'd be like, no, I'm just going to hand all of this back over to Jesus. give him everything. I feel a lot better. But I have to keep doing that because I do find that I'll just sit there and I'll start thinking about it again. You do feel sad. But there's hope. Romans 8, God can turn all things to good for those who love him. In any situation, God can turn it to good because I've given it over to him. So, I don't have the best situation at the moment, but I'm sad sometimes, but I still have joy and I have faith that God's going to turn it to good.
And he is, because he's faithful. When everybody and everything else seems to fail, yeah. Jesus will never fail. That's who he is. I've got one more question because I think at the beginning, when you saw the failure around you and you rented this share, you share now this house currently, although you're on your way out of there. I think you said that you couldn't see a way forward. 29,
yeah.
Life come to an end. Are you afraid of the future?
No. No. I am so excited for the future, and I don't know what's going to happen, but it's exciting. It's going to be exciting. I'm going to see amazing things.
You are.
Can't wait.
Absolutely.
but for everyone who's got Jesus and believes, it's exciting life. It's exciting.
Yes. And so if you were to say something as you're finishing, I suppose, comment to anybody here who's gone through heartache, heartbreak, difficulty, even turned away from God. Maybe they began like you as a child, but walked away from Jesus and ended up like the prodigal son, really, who was independent, wasted his life on all the wrong things. What would you say?
First off, I would say don't be scared and of any judgment from Jesus. Once you've said you're sorry, that's it. Like, he's forgotten it. He's forgotten it. And also from going to church, because again, I think people are scared. Like, I was scared. Like, I think people are scared and they think that people will judge you. And no, they're not allowed to. If you. Jesus has forgotten, so they've got to forget as well.
Yes.
So that's what I'd say about that, but I would say that Jesus heals brokenhearted. God's close to the brokenhearted, and all you've got to do is call out to him.
Yes. I thought I'd finished, but I haven't, because I'm just going to say a few words about love, about real love. And I've loved and it hasn't been real. And I've been loved and it hasn't been real. It's been fake. Before I became a Christian, I didn't know how to love. And I didn't have the resources to love. Because actually, when you invite Jesus into your heart, you have power. Not only are you going to experience the very love and the peace of God in your own heart, but you've got resources, God's resources, to love people. But this story is a lot about even the love of a father. And this is where I promised before I came in the Lord that I wouldn't cry. And that is about Mark, because he's really the hero of behind the scenes. Jesus is the hero of all heroes. But your dad has remained from a child all the way through your life, a constant, both love, compassion, always forgiving,
yeah.
always saying, Lydia, the best. He's got nothing but the best for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And your dad has always pointed you to the only one he knows that can yeah. help and bring yeah. the best out in yeah. your future. Now, that's a dad.
Yeah.
That's a dad. Round of applause to Mark Baker. And there must have been times over the years where he felt, it's not worked what I've done. And I think a lot of parents lose hope. Thinking about what my witness has been in following Jesus, I've prayed for them, I've done everything that I can. But in the end, this is the story. And every dad and mum in this room whose children aren't yet following Jesus, keep praying, keep loving, keep forgiving, keep constant. Because no matter what they do, you'll love them through it.
Yeah.
Even if you know they're wrong. And that's the love of God. Mm. Now, God's love is even way, way more perfect than what we've seen in your story with your dad. Mm. And some people get this picture of a God who's going to judge and be angry, but God so loved all of us that he gave his son, his only son. And he loved us, you and me, and every person in this room so much, he gave Jesus Christ, his only son. And this is the best news, because how do you find your way to God? Well, Jesus Christ alone is the way to God. He said, I am the way. Why is he a way and the only way? Because he alone paid the debt for sin. Because you see, sin separates us from God. Like you were miles away from God because of your sin and because of your independence. Mm. But as soon as you realize this, what I'm eating is rubbish. This life is rubbish. It doesn't work without Jesus. And as soon as you realize that your Heavenly Father stayed the same, constant love, he doesn't run into the sin with you. He says, come back to me. And Jesus is the way. And anyone who prays like you did that simple prayer, forgive me, Jesus. Thank you, you died for my sins. Today, I'm coming. Today, she made it her day a few weeks ago. And I believe there are people in this room who can make it their day to come and discover what love really is all about. The greatest love of all through God,
yeah.
our Father, and Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And that's the story of the Father, a Father's love. And God is like the most perfect Heavenly Father who loves every single one of us.
Yeah.
And Lydia, you've proven it. And you've proven that God has the power to heal a broken heart.
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith South West, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.